Here's our second reading, James 2. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but without giving them the things that they need for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, and you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you alone have the words of life. So we ask to hear from you this day. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. The story of Abraham occupies 14 chapters in the Bible, from Genesis chapter 12, where God calls Abraham to leave his family, his father's house, and to travel to a land that God would show him, until Genesis chapter 25, where we see Abraham die in his old age, surrounded by his family. His sons, Isaac and Ishmael, lay him to rest in the cave at Machpelah, which Abraham had earlier bought as a tomb for his wife Sarah. The story of Abraham is long, and it is rich, and it is complex. The man lived 175 years, but Abraham, in fact, is connected with the entire history of salvation. Notice these things. First, the Bible is the history of the family of Abraham. It is the history of Abraham's ancestors, and it is the history of Abraham's descendants. Second, all of the authors of all of the books in the Bible are descendants of Abraham. Third, God makes promises to Abraham, eternal promises, and those promises are not just for Abraham, they are also for Abraham's descendants. Fourth, as Christians, we are defined by our relationship with Abraham. Paul tells the Gentiles who follow Jesus that they are grafted into the family of Abraham. As adopted sons and daughters of Abraham, we inherit promises that God made to Abraham. As a child in Sunday school, you may have learned the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Fifth, God himself is defined by his relationship with Abraham. Many times in the Bible, when God names himself, when God identifies who he is, he says, I am the God of Abraham. Sixth, Jesus himself is defined by his relationship with Abraham. The first verse of the first gospel reads this way. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. We call him Father Abraham. The Av in Abraham means father. Yes, Abraham is the biological ancestor of many people. And some people might think that they are special because they have Abraham as an ancestor. But let us always remember what John the Baptizer said to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees. Do not assume that you can say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. In fact, this is what God does. God raises up new children to Abraham. In other words, God's chosen people are not the physical descendants of Abraham, but his spiritual descendants. What do I mean by a spiritual descendant of Abraham? I mean anyone who believes and trusts and places his faith in God. Abraham is famous. Abraham is known to the whole world, not because he had a bunch of children. Abraham is famous because he had faith. He is our father in the faith. Every once in a while, a verse in the Old Testament will be quoted in the New Testament. And I think that marks that verse as having special importance. In James 2:23, we read this morning, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. James is quoting Genesis 15:6. But that verse is also quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans 4:22 and in Galatians 3:6. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. The Bible repeats this phrase in four different places, Old Testament and New Testament. We read the phrase in verses that have been written by Moses and by the Apostle Paul and also by James, the brother of Jesus. Abraham believed God. That's why he's famous. That's why he is so central to the history of salvation. When we say that we are sons of Abraham or daughters of Abraham, we are saying that we too have believed God. And because we have believed God, God has counted that to us as righteousness. This is what we mean when we say that we're saved by faith. By faith in God, God credits to us a righteousness that is not our own. It is the perfect righteousness of Christ. Abraham, of course, was a sinner like the rest of us, but he did believe God. And so God credited to Abraham a righteousness that was not his own. We call this an imputed righteousness. I want you to say that. Imputed righteousness. This is your theological term of the day. Think of it this way. Jesus takes the final examination and he scores a perfect score. He makes no mistakes. He gets everything right. His final test score is 100. He receives a straight A on his report card. But because of our faith in Jesus, God writes that perfect grade of Jesus on our report card. By faith, the perfect grade of Jesus is imputed to us. That's what we mean when we say we are counted righteous because of our faith in Jesus. It is an imputed righteousness, a credited righteousness. It is not a righteousness that we've earned on our own, but it is a righteousness that has been given to us as a gift. So Abraham is famous, not because he had so many children. Other men, in fact, have had more children. Abraham is famous because he believed God. Abraham is the father of the faithful. The Bible says repeatedly, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So what does this faith of Abraham look like? Hebrews chapter 11 is often called the faith chapter. It presents a hall of fame of the heroes of the faith who have gone before us. Noah, Abraham, Moses, and others. And it begins with This verse, a verse which sticks in my memory in the King James Version since I was a teenager. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Hebrews 11, we read three short scenes from the life of Abraham. Each of these scenes begins with the phrase, "By faith, Abraham." And then we immediately hear what Abraham does. In other words, each scene begins with faith, but it immediately proceeds to action. Abraham's action is what shows us Abraham's faith. Here's what Hebrews 11 says about the faith of Abraham. Verse 8, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. God spoke to Abraham and told him to leave his father's house and to travel to a country he had never seen. Abraham believes God, and then Abraham obeys God." Verse 9 and 10. "By faith, Abraham went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Abraham believes God, so Abraham goes to the land of promise. Verses 17 and 18. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it is said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' Abraham believed God, and so Abraham offered up his son." We often think of belief as something that lives in our head. We often think faith is something that we have in our hearts. But Hebrews 11 shows us that Abraham's faith is seen by what Abraham does with his body. God speaks to Abraham. Abraham believes. How do we know that Abraham believes? Because he obeys. How does he obey? He obeys with his feet by walking more than 1,000 miles. He obeys with his hand by lifting a knife to slay his son. Now, suppose God spoke to Abraham and Abraham believed God, but Abraham did not obey God. What then? Suppose God spoke to Abraham and Abraham believed that this is truly God and that God is telling him the truth, but Abraham chooses to not do what God commanded. What then? What would we say about this Abraham? Well, we wouldn't say that he's an atheist because he does believe in God. But his faith would not produce the things of God. Only by obeying God, only by doing the things that God says, would Abraham receive the promises of God. If Abraham believed in God but did not obey God, he would be an example of what James calls faith without works. He believes, but he doesn't do. In James 2:17, we read, "By faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." It's still faith. It's just dead faith. So we can say that there are two kinds of faith. There's living faith and there's dead faith. The individual who believes that there is a God but doesn't obey God, well, he has faith, but it's a dead faith. And it doesn't do him any good. Living faith, on the other hand, believes in God, and then it does what it is that God commands. Living faith is faith in action. In verse 22, James says, "You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Faith by itself, of course, is a good starting point. It's better to believe in God than to not believe in God. But of course, even the demons believe in God. They have that kind of faith, but it doesn't do them any good. Belief and faith need to become active, and faith is only completed in the works that it produces in our lives. Faith not joined with works is dead faith, and dead faith does not produce righteousness. As Protestants, we emphasize that we are saved by faith alone, not faith plus our works. As Protestants, we reject something called works righteousness. Works righteousness is this idea that if we do enough good things, God will approve of us and we will be rewarded by God. Works righteousness is the idea that we can earn our way into God's good graces, that we can earn our way to heaven. It is correct to reject works righteousness. There are two different problems with works righteousness. First, none of us, in fact, are righteous enough to earn a spot in heaven. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if we try to get to heaven by living a good life, then all of us are doomed, because none of us lives a life that is, in fact, good enough. None of us meets God's standard. That's the first problem. The second problem is this. God does not want your good deeds if they are divorced from faith. We talked earlier about the possibility of believing in God without doing good works. That's common. But imagine the opposite case. Imagine someone who does not believe in God. Imagine an atheist who does a lot of good works. Is God pleased with that? Would God say to the atheist, well, you lived a great life, therefore I will reward you by eternity with me? I know a woman who is an atheist, but who believes that she is living a very good life. In fact, she donated one of her kidneys to someone she barely knew, and she called me up to tell me about this good deed that she had performed. She wanted me to know how good she is. Will this woman, who does not believe in God, be invited to spend eternity with God? Is God pleased with this woman and her good works? Well, the answer is no. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? So the good works of non-believers do not please God. So we are correct to reject works righteousness. We're never going to be good enough to earn a ticket to heaven. That's problem number one. And problem number two is that if we do good deeds without faith in God, God's not even pleased with them anyway. The letter of James distinguishes two kinds of faith, two kinds of belief. There is the kind of belief that does not obey God's commands to do good works. James calls that kind of belief dead faith. That kind of belief is common, of course. It is the kind of belief that the demons have. But there's another kind of faith, and this is a faith that actually produces works. It is a faith that obeys God, and this is a living faith. It is living faith which will save us. Living faith will then produce works and fruit in our lives. But we have to remember that we're not saved by the works. The works are good. We should have the desire to have a life full of works and fruit produced by faith, but we must always remember that it is the living faith and not the works which saves us. By that living faith, we are united to Christ. And it is union with Christ that guarantees us eternal life. So why does James, the brother of Jesus, write about these things to the church? Remember that James's audience is the visible church. James is not writing to the world. He's not writing to pagans. He's writing to members of the church. Why is James warning the church about dead faith? Well, because there are some people who were part of the visible church, but who do not yet have a living faith, a saving faith. Yes, they believe in God. Yes, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But their faith, for whatever reasons, is without fruit. Their faith is not producing any works. We're not saved by good works. But we are saved so that we can do good works. Paul writes in Ephesians, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." And this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God. The faith is a gift from God. "Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That's a very complicated sentence. Paul has lots of very complicated sentences. You need to diagram it. But here's the point I want you to see is that in eternity past, God planned certain good works for you to do. Then he saved you so that you could do those works. Okay? That's the logic of that sentence there. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. We are God's handiwork. We're made by God. We who were saved, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. If you believe in God but are not seeing good works in your life, well, this may be a sign that you do not yet have saving faith, a living faith. And if that's you, what do you do? Well, I think the first thing you do is you remember that living faith is a gift from God. You can't create living faith yourself. You can't force yourself to have the faith that you don't have. It's a gift from God when you have faith. But here's the wonderful thing. This is a gift that you can ask for. One of my favorite prayers in the Bible appears in Mark 9, 24. A man has come to Jesus and asked him to heal his son. And he says to Jesus, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." You can pray for the faith that you don't yet have. And I believe that God always answers that prayer. If you do not see a living faith in your life today, you can ask God to give that to you. So why don't we pray right now? Let us pray. Almighty God, we do believe in you. We believe that you are there and that you've made this world and that you've made us. And we believe that Jesus is your Son and that you sent him into the world to die for sinners. Lord, some of us don't see fruit and works in our lives. And so we pray that you would give us a living faith. Bring our faith to life. Do not abandon us with just a dead faith. Give us this living faith that will produce fruit and works in our lives, that will save us. Lord God, we pray that for our own blessing. We pray that for the blessing of the world around us. And we also pray for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.